Hello, everyone. This is Tim Dodd. Welcome to the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast.
Thankful to give witness to tens of thousands, yes, and to the millions that believe it. And believes in I believe that God's going to let me live to pack it until all around the world it's been circulated.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast. Today, I'm in the studio with Brother Tim. We'll be talking to Brother Tim. And yes, you heard that correctly. We have two Timothys today. Brother Tim Dodd.
Thank you, Brother John. It's a real pleasure to have Brother Timothy Buck with us from Northern Virginia. Now, Brother Tim, before I even introduce you, or firstly, let me say welcome to the podcast. Let me say it that way.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Brother Tim.
And
it's good to be here.
Is it, do you prefer Tim or Timothy?
Brother Tim is fine.
Okay, that's great. I think, Brother Tim, we first met at the men's meetings. I don't know if it was Virginia or Tennessee or wherever Brother Barry Coffee organizes, and I think that's where we originally met.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes. I think it was 2008.
Yes, 2008. Sir. Well, you have a better memory than I do, maybe. Well, we're so glad to have you with us. We want to talk about the country of Korea and what's happening there and some recent developments that are exciting to us and I think will be exciting to anybody that is of Korean descent or Korean believers around the world. Now, I'm going to ask you because we don't know anything about Korea. We don't know anything about most, especially Americans and Canadians, have very little background on Korea. We know more about Japanese. We know more about Chinese. Especially here, we know a lot more about Chinese. And so now you're of Korean descent.
Yes.
Your parents were immigrants?
Yes, yes. I was born in the United States, in California. But yeah, I mean, my parents were immigrants, but they spoke Korean. So I learned Korean when I was little. But as most immigrant families, the kids probably learn more English later on, and then they just transition out of their language, and they speak English mostly just to get along in the United States. So
right, right. And what year did they immigrate?
They immigrated in my dad in about 66 and my mom in 1970.
Okay. Were they Christians?
Yes, they are. And they're Pentecostal Christians.
Okay.
So I was raised that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was raised Pentecostal also. Now, when did you come in contact with the message?
Yes. So I was going to school in Colorado around the 90s, and there was a brother that was in the denominational Korean church that his wife was Korean, and so he happened to be there, and then he led a young people's Bible study. And so there were a few of us in there, and then he started to introduce some topics in the message. And some of us got very hungry. And we caught the message then around 95. There's another believer, part of that Bible study group, that's still following the message, actually in our assembly today. So
okay.
We're both in the same assembly.
Wonderful. Another Korean person?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful. And are they also involved in the work you're doing in with the translation?
Not right now. Mm-hmm. So Sister Cindy, she is Korean, and of course, she's very supportive of it, and she's got her own family here in the church. But we've talked about it, and but they support. Yeah, the family does.
Amen. Well, that's wonderful to hear. So in the 90s, you kind of came into the message. You were born in California. You went to school in Colorado. How'd you end up in the East Coast?
Yes, long story. So I'm in the military. So I got into the military, the Air Force, and mm-hmm. then went overseas, different places, Japan the first time. And just a little bit of background about the message. When I came in contact with the message in mm-hmm. the 90s, then I moved every 6 months to a few years, and there was not a church really where I was at. So my Christian walk stagnated. But then around 2003, 2004 in Georgia, I met a brother named Brother John Sacker. You may be familiar with
that. Very familiar with Brother John, yeah.
Yes. So he had a burden for Asia and Korea particularly. So when he met me, he wanted to talk about Korea and the work that needed to be there. And so he encouraged me, visited me, and then eventually I got stationed in Korea in 2004 to 2006.
Okay.
And so my family, just because of the military, and there is where I met some of the Korean believers. Brother Seo was a pastor in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a small group of believers there. And so we got to know them. And then while we were there, there were some other believers that came into the message during that time. So we were there for 2 years. Then we left and then came to the United States, eventually to Northern Virginia, where we stayed since 2007.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I ended up being here. And then I retired out of the military.
Okay. Okay. Wow, you look very young to be retired, but nevertheless, I think military is early retirement compared to preachers anyway.
Yes,
sir. So you were in Korea for 2 years, fellowshipping with the believers there, Brother Seo, who is the pastor there, whom I've had brief contact with recently. Now, tell us, they must have shared with you the background of the message. How did the message get into Korea?
Yes, sir. This is what I gathered from Brother Seo and then different believers, and even from listening to some of Brother Lonnie Jenkins' testimony. But around the 80s, from what I understand, Brother Lonnie Jenkins came and introduced a message with some other brothers. He was working with Brother Searle, I believe, from New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and Brother Richard Gioberti, from what I understand, during that time. And so the Koreans, they were excited about it, and there was a lot of folks that took a hold of the message, or at least initially, but there was a lot of persecution because Korea is a kind of a conformist country.
Mm.
So, you know, the way you live, the way you dress, so if you're not going along with the flow, then, you know, it's really looked down on. It's not like Western countries where it's accepted individuality, etc.
Right.
So the denominational Christians, or the denominations, are very strong there.
Mm-hmm.
They have Pentecostal denominations, and actually that's one of the biggest churches, actually biggest church in the world is in Yeouido in Korea. They have around 400,000 members right now.
In one church?
Yes, yes.
My.
Yes, and Korea in general, as far as Christianity, they're very strong. I think they have the second most missionaries in the world, second only to the United States. So
wow.
Christian faith is very strong there, but it's all denomination. So denomination is very strong. So I think there was a lot of persecution with the people that initially were excited about the message. So you have to really have a strong revelation, strong faith to really stand in Korea, I feel.
Right, right. Now, I was looking at the numbers in Korea. It's about 55 million population, and about half the people identify with no religion. And but the biggest identification outside of the non-religious ones is Christianity. So it's largely a Christian nation, you could say, similar to the United States in that way. I'll need to do some more research into the background and go back to the beginnings of Christian missionary work in Korea and so forth. I don't know if it dates back to the Korean War, if it goes back before that, or what the situation is. But
well, I read up a little bit about that, and I think in the early, like 1600s or so, they had Catholicism influence, but the Protestantism didn't come till much later.
Okay.
But they've had, in the 20th century, is probably their biggest booms as far as Christianity, and big Pentecostal revivals, I think, in the 1940s, 1950s.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So they were a part of that revival that was sweeping through, the Pentecostal revival.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you mentioned conformism, is that, and persecution, is that particularly with regards to how the sisters dress in the message?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. The hair and yes, the way the sisters dress.
Right,
That's a big part.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine the brothers wouldn't have too much problem fitting in, just like here, to the general population. But
yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's those types of persecutions, whether it be, like you say, conformism or whether it be communism or anything like that, certainly weeds out the real believers from the make believers, doesn't it? You know, it makes for a smaller church, but those that are there are real solid believers.
Yes, sir.
They know what they're standing for. Now, we appreciate one of the things that I felt to have this podcast at this time was to make believers around the world aware of the work there. Do you know about how many believers there might be in the country of Korea?
Yeah, as far as Korean believers, I would say that it's somewhere around 50 to 100 total that I am aware of. Mm-hmm. There's a few groups out there. Brother Saw has one group, and then there's another group, Brother Mike Nutter, a pastor. He has mainly Filipinos in his church, and he preaches in English. He has an American background. And then there's another brother or two with a group there. And then there's a lot of folks that are spread out across the country, and they may be like zooming in to Brother Saw's sermons.
Okay. And so, yeah, I've met Brother Mike Nutter at the Asian Pacific Ministers meetings many years ago, probably about 10 years ago or so, maybe 9 years ago. And nice brother, and certainly heard a little bit from him there. And we have on the Message Hub about 111 translations, and that might include the tracts, the Church Age Book tracts. And then we have recently been contacted, and I think you've been doing the legwork as far as being in contact with Brother So about getting involved with the Message Hub and uploading translations that he had already done and which were not on the Message Hub. And maybe just to background it for the people is that, you know, many times we find in different languages in different areas of the world translations that have been done but are somewhere. They're not in print, or the printing happened and then they're not being printed again or something. And so we've been fortunate enough to recover translations in different languages, such as I think most recently in the Chichewa language in Malawi. Some of the old translations there were done many years ago by Brother Dixon Kondoji in sponsorship by Brother Hildebrandt and the church in Edmonton, and we were able to upload over 100 of those translations onto the Message Hub. And that's a real long-term blessing, because it makes it available to anybody that uses that language around the world, and it makes it permanently available. You don't have to find somebody somewhere that has a book, and you know, you can download a certain title, you can print it right in your own computer, your own printer, and have a message book. And so that's great. And so we're really happy. The original translations that are on the Message Hub, I don't even know where they came from. Do you know where the original translations came from?
Yes. So just a little bit of background on the translation work, as far as I'm aware of, like the original messages translated by Brother Saw and Sister Jinju, and those are probably translated in the 90s, the early 2000s. And I know that a little bit after when we were in Korea, the translation work had kind of paused for a period of time. And mm-hmm. I don't know when it picked up back up in Korea, but I know there was a pause there. And I know in the United States side, we hadn't seen any activity, but I think it's very recent that there has been more activity. And I know that, you know, God just works in his timing, but I know that there was a burden here on this end to do something, but we didn't know just what to do or how to do it. And then we ran into Brother Murphy Wong in 2017.
Okay.
And then he talked about, we talked about the burden, and he talked about the hub. And so we worked with you, Brother Tim, in the beginning to try to reformat the ones that were existing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just talked about, why don't we just try to translate our first message? And so that's kind of how we started to try to do it, just do what we can. And then we brought another sister, Unju, who lives here, who used to live in Korea, who we knew there. And then she lives here now in Virginia. So her and my wife, because I don't speak a lot of Korean, but they do. So they've been doing the translation work. So little bit by little bit. And then we obviously heard about the Easy Translate that Brother Kobus has.
Right.
And so we've been using that. And then over the past year, there was a sister, Minju, who came in contact with my daughters and my wife. And she's a relatively new believer, that maybe 5 years or so. And then she visited us, and then we talked about, she really has a desire to help the Bride of Christ. So she wanted to see what she can do. So we talked to her about the hub and all the work there. And then she told us about all the messages that Brother Saw had been translating. Mm. So we talked about trying to get those to the hub. And then so I made contact with Brother Saw this past year. And then we talked about what's being done, what we were doing, what the hub can do, and the progress that's been made on the hub and the messages, if we should try to get those uploaded. And so he definitely was supportive of that. So that's what we've been trying to do, work with you recently. And there's about 20 to 30 messages, maybe more, that we're trying to upload right now onto the hub.
I think there's about 45, actually, that
okay, 45
are in the progress of being uploaded. And they'll okay. they'll be ready to be published. Well, they're almost all ready to be published now, and just take a few little tweaks and they'll be available. And that puts them also, did you introduce Brother So to the Message Hub apps, the search engines that we have?
Yes. So I showed him the search on the website, how you could do that, because the sister that I just mentioned, she was asking if this function exists, and then I was communicating with you about it, and then you all developed it. And so they said it's been very helpful.
Very good.
Since they've been introduced to that. So that's wonderful.
Amen.
Something else that's developed is that he's had a burden to do a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
He started doing that. I think he had done that in the past, and there's some tapes with that, but he recently had a burden to do that. So he's starting to do that. He's in Minnesota visiting his son right now, and they're trying to do that because his son's a little bit technologically savvy. So they've been doing that. I think they have one or two,
okay,
maybe three. But his goal was to come to the United States, work with his son while he's here for a couple months, and to do that.
Okay.
And then he's supposed to come here to Northern Virginia, where we can discuss more about what we can do to Amen. Further the message. So,
Amen. Amen. You know, just so you're aware, I don't think we've ever discussed this, but those audio translations can be uploaded to the Message Hub, number one. Number two, we are in the progress of working on getting the audio available in the foreign languages on those search engines. So you can listen to and read the message in Korean with those audio translations.
Oh, wow. That would be a tremendous blessing then. Yeah.
Amen. So they're actively working on it. Brother Jean here is one of the programmers. And I was just talking to the main programmer, Brother Darren, the other day, and he was telling me where they were at on that. So it's something that's in progress. It's definitely difficult when you're talking about foreign languages and mm-hmm. and making the audio line up with the text and all of that. But it is something that is coming. And they've promised me that it will be coming soon. And soon is a relative term to many people. And so I know nothing about about programming, so I can't make any promises. But they've told me that it's possible, and they're working on it. So
when in doubt, always say soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I always encourage them to under-promise and over-deliver. Unfortunately, sometimes it works out the other way, where they under-deliver and over-promise. But that's life. That's life. We appreciate, and I was sharing with him, we so appreciate everything that the programmers are doing and all the work that's gone into the Message Hub. And I was sharing with Brother Darren and Brother Jean, you haven't heard this yet, but I was saying, you know, a lot of people in the world don't realize the commitment that's involved in running a website like the Message Hub and constantly updating, upgrading, and the Message Hub apps for the different platforms and all of that. It's a huge commitment. And we've got several brothers that are and sisters that are working on it, and we appreciate them, each and every one. And and Cloverdale Bible Way and Bible Believers, as far as missions is concerned, is completely dedicated and committed to doing this work, because we've seen it as being very fruitful. I'll just say, for the Korean aspect, and this is one of the things that I'm excited about for Korea, because there's two things that we have found that are necessary for God to really anoint an awakening in a country. I'm not talking about a few people getting saved, but for God to really move with the light of the message. Number one is translation. Number two is established ministry. Mm-hmm. When you have those two things in place in a country, then God uses that to reach out, because the translation by themselves, you know, a person here and a person there will catch it. But when you've got established ministry that's able to reach out and meet with people and to answer questions and to, you know, be able to minister to the needs of the new believers, we find that really is, and it has to be local ministry. Like we can go in, like Brother John Sacker went in, he's not a minister, but he would go in and introduce Brother Lonnie Jenkins, certainly Brother Biskell in different countries, Brother Harold Hildebrand, all of these original missionaries that went in and introduced the message and established the message in these countries. But then we find that once the local ministry becomes established, and they become somewhat mature in the message, then you see the Holy Spirit really take a hold of it and be able to push it forward to all of the souls that the Lord has in his mind.
Sure. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing what you brothers are doing, and we wanted to share that with the people. So in Korea, it's a very small group, so the needs are still translation and the spreading of the message. Do they print books there? What do they do?
No, not as far as I know. I know in the beginning they did. They probably still have several printed messages, but because Korea is such a technologically savvy country, everybody has phone technology, etc., that this might be the way to get the message out best there. And I don't see them using books a lot, although the older people might, but it's less of a need than in some countries. I think they primarily rely on their phones and the computers.
Right. Yeah. South Korea would be in, and I guess I'm asking, are they as advanced as, say, the United States in their technical capability?
I would say in a lot of respects, some respects more or so than the United States, because like a lot, you know, Samsung is obviously, they create the cell phones, and I don't know firsthand, but this is what I hear, is that they are very on the front end and ahead in the United States, more ahead than the United States. So that's what I've heard. Yes.
That's what I read as well. Especially even during COVID, they're talking about the capabilities that they had to really control it because of all the technology they have. They're in many respects more advanced.
Well, that's wonderful. And we're glad that the message is getting now, the messages, the translations are now getting uploaded, and you can share the details of the audio with Brother Sue when he comes to visit you. Am I saying that right, Brother Sue?
Brother Sa.
Sa, thank you. And so you can certainly share with him those things. And, you know, maybe if he would like to, we'll put an invitation out there to do a follow-up podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If he would like to be on a podcast and share with the people what's happening in the message in Korea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
I'll be particularly interested as well in hearing about the church's book, because I'm here looking at the titles that have been translated in Korean, and I see the church's book is there. That's pretty impressive. I had no idea that we had the church's book in Korean.
Oh, yeah. No, they're doing well,
and
adding the 45 or so translations that are on in preparation now, that'll put them up over 150 translations.
That's amazing.
Which is phenomenal.
Yes, sir.
Especially for such a small group.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yes, sir. We believe that the Lord will do something for the believers there, and we trusted we'll see that happen soon.
Amen. And it's not just there. There are Korean immigrants all over the world.
That's it.
And
yes, sir.
I know because I've spoken to some here in the Lower Mainland, some Korean Christian ministers, and have witnessed to them. And we haven't seen much fruit of it, but there are immigrants around the world that, when the message is available, God can put it anywhere.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Approximately 2 million Koreans in the U.S. alone.
Mm, there we go. 2 million in the U.S. Well, thank you, Brother Tim, and we appreciate it so much that you've taken the time to come and talk to us and talk to the believers around the world of the developments from the country of Korea.
You're welcome, Brother Tim. It's good to be with you all.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Timothy. Thank you, Brother Tim. And to our listeners, I trust this was a blessing to you. We rarely hear about Korea, as Brother Tim said earlier on. We know about what's happening in China. We've covered Japan in previous podcasts, but this was very eye-opening and interesting to see that in Korea something is happening, and now we're getting more translations in the message up. I trust there will be more episodes dedicated to Korea in the future. Until next time, Shalom.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Remember, friends, the bridegroom will not come until the bride has made herself ready. She must be both called and fully dressed by the Word of God.
This was another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge Report podcast. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to hear more about what the Lord is doing around the world, please go to www.bibleway.org. That's www.bibleway.org, and subscribe to the newsletter to receive updates about what the Lord is doing. Additionally, if you desire to contact us, please email us at info@bible-believers.org. Once more, that's info@bible-believers.org. Or you can also write to us, and our mailing address is Bible Believers, P.O. Box 128, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Until next time, Shalom.